Siri, what's my day look like?
Another busy day today.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm not allowed to be frivolous.
Oh, okay. Move my 4 o'clock today to tomorrow. Change my 11 a.m. to 2.
Okay, Marty. I scheduled it for today.
Is that Rick?
Here's Rick.
Oh, no, it's not Rick. Now, how's the traffic headed downtown?
Here's the traffic.
Oh, it's terrible. Driver, cut across. We'll never make it downtown this way. I like you, Siri. You're going places.
I'll try to remember that.
Hello! Welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. Joining me today in a move to take over the Cultimac Empire, I think he may have offed Leander Caney. Lewis Wallace is here.
Hey,
where is he,
right,
dude?
Nobody's ever going to find the body.
Have you seen the movie The Talented Mr. Ripley? I'm starting to think we have a Talented Mr. Wallace scenario happening here. Because no one's heard from Leander in weeks now. No one knows where he is. And all I ever see are like these pictures on Instagram taken where he's not in them. It's just like, hey, it's me, Leander Caney. Sorry about that. Sorry, yeah. My HomePod thinks I'm talking to it.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was weird. Sometimes HomePod just does that. It just starts talking to me out of nowhere.
Wow.
And I haven't talked to it.
What does it say?
Sorry, I can't do that right now. Would you like to ask me another question? Sorry, it's just always apologizing for the things that it can't do. Which is actually an apropos lead-in to what we're going to be talking about this week. Boy, what a segue. That's one of the best in Cultcast history. So here's what we've got on the docket this week, guys. We got to talk about Google I.O. Now, I know what you're thinking. I don't want to hear about any of the crap that Google is announcing. It's all going to suck. I don't want to hear about Android. Well, look, we're not going to talk about all that stuff. We're just going to talk about the stuff that's relevant to us Apple fans. Namely, the Google Maps update will tell you what's coming your way, what's new. And then we also have to talk about this Google Assistant Duplex experiment that they demoed live on stage. Well, it wasn't live. I guess it was pre-recorded. But it was one of the most exemplary, talk-worthy, notable demos that I've ever seen in a keynote. And it, of course, demonstrates just how lackluster Siri really is. So we'll be talking a little bit about that. And then also, did you know Apple has 13 shows under development now? They're making 13 different shows. Buster put together a great all-encompassing post talking about what the shows are and what the premises are for each show. So we'll touch on a couple of these, well, I guess a few of them, and tell you what some of the cool ones are. And you should go check out this post too if you want to see the entire spread of all the shows that Apple's coming out with. And then the question, of course, is when are they actually releasing these shows? When are they going to admit that they're creating shows? And we will... Oh, well, look at that. We're also going to talk about this Apple story that came out this week about Apple being a cash machine that puts profits ahead of innovation. Did you check out this post, Lewis?
Yes.
Fantastic. Oh, you read it. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow, enough shocker. That.
As soon as I asked you that question, I was like, I probably shouldn't have asked Lewis this question. But it raises a question as old as time, right? Is Apple still innovating? And it got me to thinking, well, what companies really are innovating today? So we'll tell you some of our favorites. And then we're going to wrap up with an all-new Cultcast Q&A. This is where we answer your burning questions. These questions come directly from you, our wonderful, attractive, very buff, very veiny listeners. And you guys tweeted these at me, and I picked out some of my favorites. And we'll answer these, including questions such as, what is your favorite app? And then, of course, the capstone, which we'll have to end with, why do men have nipples, Lewis?
Oh, my God.
And why are yours pierced?
And
that,
I hear
more importantly.
I hear that you have the answer to this, and I cannot wait.
If you stay tuned to the end, I will tell you, I will reveal to you why men have nipples. I was completely independently of this question coming in, which I love, was talking to someone about this the other day, and someone told me the actual answer, and I was like, oh, makes perfect sense. So I'll tell you why men have nipples, and then you can tell your friends. You're going to feel real cool. Stay tuned to the end for that. I love how you can come here for this show and not only get a conversation about all the best and brightest in the world of Apple, but also why your dad has nipples. That's a very special show. Not all shows give you all those kinds of perspectives. Before we, I can hear your sigh, by the way. Before we dive into the news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Eero for supporting this episode. Now is the perfect time to buy an Eero router. The Apple Airport Express, the Airport Extreme. It's dead. And now is the time for you to move into the future. The single router Wi-Fi model just doesn't work in our increasingly high bandwidth world. What you need is a distributed system by Eero. And if you have an Apple Airport at home, this is your time to upgrade. Whatever your Wi-Fi needs, Eero has the power to seamlessly blanket your entire home in reliable, fast Wi-Fi or Ethernet. And you can use any combination thereof. You simply set an Eero on a flat surface or plug it into a wall outlet, and you can expand coverage to that room. Not to mention, with the addition of a third 5 gigahertz radio, the second generation Eero is now tri-band and twice as fast as its predecessor, which will let you do more in every room of your home simultaneously. And tri-band is the good stuff. That's the stuff that you want. That's the good distributed system. Some technologies out there don't have that. And with the addition of a new Thread radio, Eero can now connect to low-power devices such as locks, doorbells, and other sensors. Meanwhile, Eero Beacon is half the size, but even more powerful than the original Eero. Whichever model you choose, with Eero's incredible customer service, you can call and get a hold of someone within 30 seconds. A Wi-Fi expert, if you get stuck, will help you get things configured. But I have the Eero. I love it. So does Leander. It works very well. You'll have more coverage in your home. You'll have faster coverage everywhere in your home. Those dead spots that you have will disappear. And you can configure everything from their iPhone app. You won't need any help. If you're listening to this show, you're not going to need help. I mean, if Leander can do it, this is their new model. This is their new product slogan. If Leander Candy can do it, you can do it. Eero. And for our listeners, you can get free overnight shipping in the U.S. or Canada. Visit Eero.com, select overnight shipping as the option. Enter CultCast at checkout at Eero, Eero.com. Enter CultCast at checkout. And if you're in the U.S. or Canada, you get free overnight shipping. Eero.com. Okay, let's see here. Where should we start? So much stuff, Lewis. So much stuff. Where should we start? Okay, let's start with Google I.O. I hesitate to even talk about this. It's not Apple related, really, but they showed off some cool stuff, didn't they? Even the Android updates, which we're not going to talk about, looked pretty cool. And of course, they took some serious design notes from the iPhone 10, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought. You know, oh, gee, just like the iPhone 10. That looks familiar. Yeah,
swipe up, swipe over. Yeah, it does look awfully familiar. So, but let's talk about the things that apply to Apple fans, the things that might interest Apple fans. So, first of all, a updated version of Google Maps is on the way. I don't know when they're releasing this or if they've already released it, but they're putting AI into everything, machine learning into everything, and Google Maps is no different. So the app is going to help you know what's going on around you. They have a new tab called For You that's designed to tell you about the events in your neighborhood, and you can also now hold your phone up in real time, you know, like when you're walking, and it will overlay maps to give you walking directions so you can make it so that you can find your way around your city life easier. This just shows their cosmopolitan bend, doesn't it? It's like when you're in the city and you can't find the Starbucks that's always a block away, and now you can hold your phone up and you know, it will take you right there. But it does sound cool, and better AI or better augmented reality for walking directions does actually sound pretty cool. Yeah. Of course, the big feature that everyone was talking about was Google Duplex. Duplex is a service, and I think it's powered by Google Assistant, where the service will actually make real-time calls on your behalf and do things for you. And the example they used was it called a salon and made a haircutting appointment and was speaking to a human who I don't think knew was they were talking to an AI. That was kind of the magic of the demo, that this AI was able to have discussion with a human, and the human didn't know it was talking to AI, which was which was insane, really, and was able to pull off making a hair cutting appointment and had all of the little, I don't even know how to describe them, the complications of human language, like the and the ahas, and the affectations, I should say. Is that the right word, Lewis?
Yes, verbal like tics.
The verbal tics that people have. I mean, it would emulate those kinds of things to make it seem as though it were human. And it reminded me of that scene from Terminator 2 where John Connors is calling they're not his step-parents. What are they? They're his...
foster parents?
Thank you. He called his foster parents, and he thought he was talking to his foster mom, but she was actually dead. He was talking to the T-1000. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, a vague recollection.
It reminded me of that scene because the AI was so good at having a conversation with this haircutting salon person. What were your thoughts about it when you were watching it?
Oh, yeah, it was totally freaky. And I mean, it's kind of like a Jerky Boys routine. It's just like, I felt like I was kept waiting for the punchline, but it's just like, oh, no, it just literally works just perfectly, makes this appointment. And, you know, one more reason why you're never going to use your telephone, right? Because what's one of the only reasons you ever use it for these days? Call up and make a restaurant reservation.
Good riddance.
Maybe you do that on an app anyway.
But, I do that on apps, yeah. Well, if you go to a nice restaurant, usually you got to call in. Besides, how often are you making restaurant reservations?
Right.
In our increasingly desocialized world, too, I really hate talking to people on the phone. I don't know what it is about talking on the phone. I hate talking on the phone.
Yeah.
I really don't like it.
Think about how awesome it'll be if that works, like, you know, in a foreign country. You know, you go to Italy or something and you need to make a reservation. That's one of the hardest things to do because, you know, they don't speak English at all. You don't speak Italian hardly at all. You know, little things like what time? I can't remember how to say, you know, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that could be really awesome. And, you know, it's just a matter of time. I mean, I thought that was a very impressive demo. I mean, a lot of people are freaked out about it and calling it like super unethical that Google is doing this. You know, they're no respect for privacy and like, you know, they're disrespecting the people by having them talk to machines and not disclosing it. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to really feel like it's that horrible.
This was one of the first AI demos that I've ever seen that actually honestly did kind of freak me out a little bit.
Yeah,
because you pair this with the videos. I don't know if you've seen these videos where these guys have an actor sitting there and then they have a video reel and then they have a second video reel and the actor is speaking and the AI is taking the first video reel and then changing it based upon the actor's movements and mouth movements so that the second video looks like, well, it's been recreated and all the words that the person in the first video were being spoken have been changed to what the actor is speaking. So for instance, the demo I saw was a guy sitting there and he was talking and the video was taking this Obama speech and changing Obama's face and his mouth movements to match the words that are being spoken by the actor. And it was spot on. You couldn't tell that it wasn't actually Obama in the second video feed. And now you take into account like AI being able to actually speak with a human and maybe they could actually match your voice affectations and the pitch of your voice and all that kind of thing. And now you're living in a world where how do you tell what's actually real? You know, I mean, I could call Leander's bank and be like, I want you to put the mortgage in there on Elijah's name. And now I own Leander's house, which actually is a great idea because he probably has a very valuable house. Yeah. He lives in San Francisco.
I got a phone call to make, man. The bank closes in 45 minutes. Just a second.
I need to quadruple my 401k contributions from Call to Back. Yeah, I mean, you could think about how criminals could use this. I'm not so worried. Guys like the Waz are worried that AI is going to take over and send nukes out into the skies and they're going to pass each other in the air and land on all our major cities. I'm more worried about nefarious characters using this technology to steal your identity, to steal your banking information, to steal things from you that you didn't even know was possible. And when I see demos like this, this is just another tool that criminals are going to be able to use against you. That's why I thought it was scary. It also demonstrates just how far behind Siri is, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, it does.
I mean, Siri can't really do anything that's not a simple command. But though many people were making that same observation and saying, oh, look how much Siri sucks, I also think it's worth pointing out this was a demo. This was highly orchestrated events and this is Google R&D. They showed you exactly what they wanted you to see. And I bet you 100 big ones that this does not work anywhere near this well in real life. Like this is probably like one of hundreds of demos that they did or trials that they did that actually got it right. I bet you most of them don't work. And it reminds me of the Google Pixel Buds, where they were showing those off and they're like, you'll be able to speak to someone in another language in real time. And like the right. language they're going to speak into your phone, the person that you're talking to is speaking Japanese. It's going to come into your headphones in English. But then once reviewers got their hands on it, turns out it didn't work very well. And I think that's what's happening here. I doubt this actually works.
Well, this is a whole lot simpler proposition, though. I mean, there's not that many variables, really, right? I mean, especially, you know, booking a restaurant reservation. I mean, what are they going to say? How many people? What time? I mean, it's unlikely they're going to bust out and say something like, oh, what are you guys going to be wearing?
How are the tomatoes in your garden doing? Yeah. Yeah. I guess they are going to be pretty simple conversations.
I mean, they might have it. So they have, oh, do you have dietary restrictions or do you this or that or whatever? But, you know, it's a pretty and I mean, it makes it a much less complicated thing to figure out. Right. But
yeah.
But, you know, you're absolutely right that it's you know, they're not going to show their worst disaster on the screen up there. They're going to show the one that went beautifully, right? And
Yeah.
But, man, just the power of the mm-hmm. that's what did it, you know? Mm-hmm. It sounded so human.
Yeah, those little things that they worked in to make it not sound like a robot were incredible and dazzling. Really, I mean, my jaw was agape when I saw what it was doing. I couldn't believe it.
It made quite a splash.
Yeah,
well
it made a big splash in the tech industry. And kudos to Google for getting this far. It's going to be amazing to see what happens in the next 5 years. Because now they're building machine learning into everything. And I kind of wonder how much of this is going to be useful and how much of it is going to be a fad. And it's just going to go away. And I'm like, you know, I don't need machine learning in my toilet. There's just a lot of instances where they're building a machine learning where I don't think it's going to end up being fruitful in any way because people just aren't going to use it. Do you really want to have AI calling people on your behalf? I don't know if I do.
I don't know. Why not? Why would I? If I wanted to make a haircut appointment, why? You know, just saying, hey, make me a haircut appointment. That's pretty simple.
What else would you use it for in your real life?
I don't know, making any kind of stupid appointment like that, making a cat veterinarian appointment.
Oh, so making appointments in general.
Yeah, I mean, and it's basically like having an assistant. That's exactly what it says. In fact, I don't know if you were paying attention to the very beginning of this thing, but it says, hi, I'm calling to make an appointment for a client.
That's right.
Hey, you're suddenly a baller because you got a personal secretary. It just happens to be an app.
That's right. Yeah, I guess if you're a high-powered executive like Leander Caney, you have to have other people do your work for you.
Exactly.
I still make my own phone calls, though, so.
Yeah, well, I don't make that many phone calls at all these days, really, to be honest.
Yeah,
most of the time, I'm avoiding phone calls.
God, I hate calling people. The worst, isn't it?
So did you see the Google Maps demo? The one with the AI sort of, you know, showing you where you're at, helping you orient yourself.
I didn't actually see that part. I just read about it.
That was very slick. Looked like some of the AR kit demos we've been seeing recently, you know, that people are working on for Apple or iOS devices and using AR kit. But yeah, it was awesome. And it's totally true. I mean, they set it up perfectly, right? You come outside and you're like, oh, it says go south on West Johnson Street. And you're like, well, you know, which street is this and which way is south, right? I mean, you never know when you're in a town you don't know.
Yeah.
And you don't happen to remember exactly what street you're on and which way, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've started off the wrong way down the road and what they said is exactly right. You're looking at a little blue dot and, oh God, going the wrong way.
Oh, that happens to me all the time. Wait, how's that going to be fixed?
So basically, you got your directions to go to wherever, right?
Yeah.
You hold your phone up and it's basically pointing here, go this way, you know?
Oh,
and in fact,
nice.
They had like a little, what would you call it? A little animated character on there, like a fox or something. It's that like, oh yeah, we've even experimented with this where we'd have like a character that you follow and it's like, you know, this fox or whatever it was appears on the screen and it just starts going down the road and like winking at you, follow me. So, I mean, you know, that's...
They need to do the Alice in Wonderland bunny.
Anything. Yeah, that would be good. I mean, so that was cute. I mean, I would probably switch that off, but I don't know. I mean, it just looked really, really helpful for that one little irritating thing. I mean, it is irritating.
I gotta say, in the pantheon of first world problems, that is very irritating. I mean, you start your GPS, and then it takes, you got to drive before it can tell you what direction you're pointing. But you want to go the right direction, and so it's always like a 50-50 chance. Am I going the right direction? I have no idea.
Exactly.
I'm just going to head this way and see what happens.
If you're, especially in a car, if you start going the wrong way, certain cities, man, you can end up having to drive 10 miles out of your way, right?
Right, or you miss your exit or something. Yeah. That's a good point. Horrible. Okay, well, we'll link to this in the show notes in case you haven't checked out what was announced at Google I.O. We have a post on Cultimac. All the stuff revealed at Google I.O., nice and short and brief, so you can just run through it and see what was announced. Let's rattle off some of Apple's TV shows under development, Lewis. We've been talking about this on and off for months now. Apple is clearly going to be making a move to, I don't know, do Netflix-style content or original content, and they are building this up. I don't know when they're going to actually release this. Do we have any information on that, Lewis, or is it just when it happens, it happens?
You know, there was a rumor this week talking about it, saying that they're going to sell subscriptions through the TV app. Mm-hmm. I didn't read that one. I don't know the timeline, but
okay.
You know, that's been the big question. Like, when is this going to launch? Where are these things going to live? To cost? Right? Yeah.
Everything. Oh, it'll probably be part of your Apple Music subscription.
Well, I mean, that doesn't really make that much sense, right? But maybe. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, you got to think about it this way. Amazon charges $10 a month for Amazon Prime, and they give you free shipping. They give you access to Amazon Music Library. They give you Amazon Video. I mean, I think that's the way that Apple is going to do it too, especially considering Jeff Bezos recently revealed that there's 100 million Amazon Prime subscribers, each paying $100 a year, soon to be $120 by the year, if you didn't know the fee was going up. It is. It's going up very soon, again. And, so his company is making $1 billion in revenue just from subscriptions. He's like the Costco of the digital age. You know, you just pay them a subscription, and they start giving you all these cool benefits. Although I got to say, the Amazon Prime benefits are starting to lose pace with the actual price of Amazon Prime. $120 a year. Are you an Amazon Prime subscriber?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Is $120 a year going to phase you? Because that's a big increase for me, and I'm starting to wonder, hey, yeah. Well, you know, how valuable is this service to me?
My wife probably gets something delivered from Amazon 2 to 3 times a week. So, yeah, we're not going to be dropping Amazon Prime.
Well, this would be a good reason to drop it then. You'd be like, sorry, honey, you got to shop less.
Yeah, right. I don't think that's going to fly.
Yeah, so that used to be the same deal for me, but now Amazon, because of my state's ridiculous tax laws, charge sales tax on absolutely everything. So I'm like, do I want to buy this from Amazon? I actually start looking around for the best prices. Or I try to buy it from places that don't charge sales tax for high purchase items, you know, like B&H or something like that. So we totally lost track of what we were actually talking about. So let's talk about these shows. So I picked out some choice selections from this post. There's 13 shows in development. Buster has them all listed in this post, and I'll link to it in the show notes if you want to check it out. The first one I thought was interesting. They said it was going to be like an Anchorman type show, and immediately I was like, hooked. The eyebrow went up. I love me some Ron Burgundy. I love me some Ron Burgundy. And this is going to be a comedy starring Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston. And Buster said, it sounds like the show is kind of like a mix between The Office or Parks and Recreation and The Anchorman. It's like a morning news program. And, you know, I think those are two pretty funny ladies. I think they might be able to pull it off. And if they really wanted to get crazy, they could bring in Christina Applegate, have her make a cameo. I'd be having some laughs at that.
I'm more excited about the Kristen Wiig comedy that's coming up.
You know what? I am too. I used to, I couldn't stand Kristen Wiig.
What?
When she first came to SNL, she was horribly unfunny. Cringeworthingly unfunny. And then slowly but surely, she became one of my favorite cast members when she was on.
She was the funniest.
That skit that she did where she had the really tiny hands. You know what I'm talking about?
Yo, and boy do I.
Gold, comic gold.
Oh, God. I love the
reminded me of Alexi Heath, actually, every time I saw it. So you like the do you remember any of the specifics of that show?
Let's see. It's untitled at this point. It's another thing being developed by Reese Witherspoon's production company, and it's based off a book by Curtis Sittenfeld, a short story collection called "You Think It, I'll Say It."
Okay, that means nothing to me.
Yeah, I've never read that either. In fact, the description of the book that I think was from the Washington Post review or said, you know, the book is described as one that upends assumptions about class relationships and gender roles in a nation that feels both adrift and viscerally divided, which kind of turned me off on the concept of this. But then, it was talking about it being, really satirical, you know. So I don't know. Kristen Wiig's involvement gives me hope because I think she's hilarious.
She's good in everything that she does. Even in her small role in The Martian, she was great, and she barely said anything in that movie. The other one I thought looked interesting, I love sci-fi, I love fantasy. This one looked interesting. It's a Ronald D. Moore sci-fi series. That means nothing to me. All I know is that he helped with Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I know about him. Is he some popular sci-fi writer or something?
Well, he's been doing this for a long time. He worked on Star Trek Next Generation or some Star Trek.
What?
Yeah,
sold.
He's been around for a while. And man, Battlestar Galactica, that was the most awesome, wasn't it?
I didn't watch it, but I'm one of the biggest Star Trek fans in the entire United States.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Did you say you didn't watch Battlestar Galactica?
Well, I watched the original Battlestar Galactica. There was a remake. That's what you're talking about,
right? Reboot?
I didn't watch the reboot. I thought they did it right the first time. Why ruin it?
Oh, my God.
It's like...
Just as soon as the show's over, go watch it. And, I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, get to edit the show afterwards.
Okay, well, then tomorrow.
Maybe it's
awesome. It is unbelievable. Not just pretty good. It is fantastic.
Wow.
Absolutely fantastic.
High praise.
And it's...
You're really selling it.
It's really gritty and really just... it's a fantastic show. And I think it was really responsible for this like sci-fi sort of renaissance, you know?
Huh. Yeah.
And that guy, he's done some other things that haven't, done as well. I can't even remember the name of the last thing. But I think that guy's the real deal. And so when I heard that he was making a show for them, I was like, wow, I can't wait to see that.
Well, we don't have very many details on the show he's making for Apple. We just know that it's under development. And the premise of the show is this. Imagine a world where the space race between the USA and Russia never ended, and they just kept going. Sputnik went down, the monkey in that probe, it blew up, but they just kept sending people up. Imagine the competition. Imagine what would be happening in space right now. So I thought it was an interesting premise. And so we'll see what happens with that. And then the last one that I'll mention before we move on, this looked interesting to me. You might hate this. I love watching shows about big, beautiful homes. In fact, you remember The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous with Robin Leach.
Oh,
how was that? Was that pretty good? I feel like that was spot on. So Apple's doing their own version of the most extravagant homes in the world. And it will be a docuseries. They're going to explore nice homes and then the people who made those fabulous homes. I love shows like this. There's a few of them that are on Netflix that I watch occasionally. I just like seeing how rich people, like super, not rich. Rich is the wrong word. How wealthy people live. People who have so much money that they don't even need to work anymore. You know, they just have like these billions in the bank and in investments, and they have these insanely ridiculous houses. I just like to see that kind of stuff. I think it's amazing.
I can't even imagine a show I would less want to watch.
You were Leander Caney.
Oh,
Leander would
God.
Hate this show.
It sounds so pretentious and horrible.
But it does show off cool. I mean, if you think about houses as pieces of art, architecture, right? Only people who are extremely wealthy can afford to have a house that's art or to have a house that's not cookie cutter. So it's really cool to see if you had as much money as you wanted, what kind of house you would build, because that house is an extension of your personality, I think. And so these people build these insane houses with these views that are ridiculous and helicopter landing pads and all this kind of stuff. I mean, if you could build any kind of house you wanted and live there, what would your house look like? That's essentially what this show is going
to
be.
I don't need to see
that
this.
That, I think, sounds interesting.
I'm depressed enough, man. I don't need this.
Yours is going to be the doghouse. After you cancel your Amazon Prime subscription.
The garage jammed full of crap. That's the one that gets you excited off this list.
Yeah, man, it sounds great.
Oh my
Sounds
God.
Great.
Well, I'm speechless. I mean, we got on this list, we got a series based on Isaac Asimov's Foundations trilogy, and you're not as excited about that? Or what was the other one? Amazing Stories with Steven Spielberg? You know, maybe not, whatever.
Oh, I didn't catch that one. There was another one that I thought was really interesting. That was the M. Night Shyamalan series, like the thriller series. People always take a big dump on him. I like M. Night Shyamalan. I think he's made some incredible movies. I mean, Unbreakable, insane, so good. And then The Village, some people out there saw The Village ending coming from a mile away. I was in a stupor. I couldn't believe what happened at the end of The Village. It was one of the biggest twist endings, and I absolutely did not see it coming. And then Signs, man, he's made some of the best movies ever made,
I agree with you. That guy, his movies are interesting. If nothing else, they're interesting. And I don't understand why there's so much hatred for that guy. I would take anything that guy has made and be fascinated by it. What, Split? Did you read? Did you read that? Did you watch that one? Split?
I don't think so. No.
It's about a guy with multiple personalities. Uh-huh. Also good. You know. Huh.
I don't think I've seen a single thing from M. Night Shyamalan that I didn't like. Not one. And yet, the popular opinion, anytime you mention him, people are always like, "Oh, dude. His endings are so obvious. His plots are so derivative." I'm like, yeah, but they work.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, that guy, he gets a lot of grief, and I just don't quite understand it because
me either.
Everything that he's ever done. One thing you never do is go, "Oh, this movie seems like it was made by somebody who's stupid." No, you come away going, "God, this is a smart guy making interesting
movies."
Yeah,
the endings, the twists, and the turns. The twists of Unbreakable. Whew. I just rewatched that recently. That held up big time.
I haven't watched that in a long time, but
you should rewatch it. Okay. It's I think it was his first that might have been his first movie, but it was his first breakout movie for sure.
It was not his first one, but yeah.
Okay,
right.
All right, got it. All right, let's see here. Okay, so that's all of them. Again, we'll link to this in the show notes if you want to take a look at this. We got to at least mention this story. God, we're gonna run long. My friends, it's been a great run, but MoviePass is done. Get your forks out. If you haven't seen Avengers yet, you better use it before you lose it, because according to a new SEC filing, the MoviePass saga is about to take... Talk about twist endings. Well, maybe this is not a twist. I've been saying this is going to happen for the last 5 months. They're going to go out of business, dudes. It's only a matter of time. The MoviePass cannot last. That sounds like something that... So they have a new SEC filing, and it outlines their financial situation. And as you can imagine, it doesn't look good. According to the filing, the company spends an average of $21.7 million per month, and that was between October 2017 and April 2018. Well, as of April 30th, they only have $15.5 million in cash. And so that's not even enough money for 1 month of operations. They do have almost $28 million on deposit with some of their various merchant processors. But you add that all up, what is that? That's barely 2 months of operations, and they're gonna have to do something to either get money or try to trick you into subscribing. And I feel like MoviePass has been a Ponzi scheme. You know, they have to continually get more and more subscribers to get more money coming in order to appease their current subscribers. And eventually they're not going to get in as many subscribers as they need, and they're going to go out of business, and that's going to be the end of it. And now that they're changing their terms of service so often, I think that maybe they're not getting as many subscribers in huge batches as they used to, because people are kind of getting keen to the fact that they're not getting as good of a deal as previous months of MoviePass. And their terms are constantly changing, so you never really know what you're getting yourself into. I've been a user for, I don't know, 5 months now, and they've changed their offering 3 times in that time period. So here was a statement from MoviePass. They said, "If we're unable to obtain sufficient amounts of additional capital, we may be required to reduce the scope of our planned growth, aka go out of business, or otherwise alter our business model, aka stop selling and go out of business. Objectives and operations, aka close the business and not do this anymore." So You better use it, Lewis. You gotta go see Avengers ASAP. Jeez.
This is very troubling.
I just want to make it to Avengers and then the Solo movie, and then I'll be good. And after that, you know, what else can you see?
Well, it's gonna. Yeah. Jeez. I hope that it doesn't go out of business, because I think it's a fantastic thing, you know, be able to go and just not feel constrained. I mean, those ticket prices are too damn high.
Too damn high. And I used to never see movies. I would only go see AAA movies at the movie theater, because my local theater, it's you know, you go two people, it's $30. And so for me, I really would have to see a movie to go spend that amount of money to see a movie. Because most movies are not worth the $15 price tag it costs to see a screening in Seattle. Yeah. It's just not worth it. But MoviePass was hoping that theaters were going to give them a cut on ticket prices. That's been their angle. That's been something that their CEO has talked about a lot. But in a recent statement, AMC's CEO, Adam Aron, said, "Our views about subscriptions have not changed one iota since August, when we first made a statement about MoviePass." And he went on to talk about how their pricing is just ridiculous and unsustainable. So it's like, no, they're not going to give you a deal, MoviePass. And that was the long throw. What do you call that? The Hail Mary?
Yeah.
That was the Hail Mary for MoviePass. They were hoping that theaters were going to realize how much money they were getting from MoviePass and then give them a better price. Well, but alas,
That might happen. That might happen.
It could happen with Regal.
For years, they've been saying that movie theaters don't make hardly a penny on the ticket sales. They make it on the concessions, right?
Right.
So why not give them what they need is people in the seats. That's what theaters need. They need people going to the theater, making it a vibrant situation rather than like, oh my God, look at all the dust on these seats. So in that way, MoviePass is awesome for theaters. And, you know, just because they're running into some turbulence right now, it doesn't mean that they're, you know, going down in a month. I mean, you know, they could raise the rate, you know, the price that they charge per month. I mean, how much would you pay for this?
I would pay 20. I was just going to ask you the exact same thing. I would pay $20 a month. If they raised it to 20. Now I would not, if they raised it to 20 and didn't let me see the same movies over and over again, I probably wouldn't pay anything extra. But if they truly make it unlimited, I would do it for $20 a month. But if I'm only allowed to see one movie once, or each movie once, then I'm probably not going to do it, because there often are not two great movies in a month that I want to see. You know, there might be some that I kind of want to see, and MoviePass will send me there because I get in for free, but there's just not a lot of great movies out.
I wonder what kind of stats they have on, you know, how many movies people are actually seeing per month. I mean, it's one thing I've never heard in all this, you know, every story about MoviePass is doomed. How many movies do people actually go to see a month? I mean, it's $10 a month, right? So if you go see two, you've already saved, even if you're going to like matinees, right?
Yeah, in Seattle, because a matinee is $11.
A matinee is $11? So if you go see... Yeah, I don't know. I'm very curious. It'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out, because, I mean, it does seem really cheap. And I do think, you know, I mean, what is Netflix, $15 a month or something? I mean, but you get so much value out of something like Netflix. I mean...
I'm actually canceling my Netflix.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to cancel it and just see how I feel, because we don't watch it ever. And so... I'm like, why am I paying for this? I mean, yeah, it's only $10 a month because I don't have the 4K plan, but I just don't have time to watch that much Netflix. I mean, I'm either editing podcasts, making YouTube videos, or streaming Fortnite on Twitch these days. So I'm like, I just don't have any time to do anything else. And so why just keep paying for this? And if I miss it, you know what I'm going to do? I think I was telling you this. I think I'm going to go on the Netflix. I'm going to go on the Blu-ray rental plan.
Old school.
Old school, man. I'm going to get my hands on new movies that I actually want to see. Well, instead of all this, Netflix now is just all original content. And that's great if you like to watch a lot of Netflix original content. But I don't. Like, I want to see new movies. I don't want to watch yet another Netflix content for the most part, or Netflix show, because I just don't have the time.
Yeah, well,
you know.
All right, then. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, well, let's, before we move on, let me give a quick thanks. A hearty thanks to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Now with three mattress models, the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential, Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool, regulates your body temperature throughout the night, and it's delivered right to your door in a small, how did they do that, sized box with free shipping and returns in the US and Canada. But the best part is, you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. After all, you spend one third of your life sleeping, or, you know, like half if you're El Caney. So you should be comfortable. These Al Kenny shots, they're unfair. I got to wait for him to be here before I take
it's
these
like
shots.
Fish in a barrel.
I love them, so I just. You can get $50 toward select mattresses by visiting casper.com/cultcast. That's CASPER.com/cultcast. And peruse what they have there. See what the people are saying about Casper mattresses. They're highly reviewed everywhere online. You'll see why Casper is the internet's favorite mattress. And when you're ready to make your purchase, use code CULTCAST at checkout for $50 off your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions do apply. Thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. Okay, let's talk about our favorite, most innovative companies, Lewis.
Yeah.
So this report came out this week from this analyst who said, Apple's putting making money over innovation. They're not innovative anymore, and they probably are not going to be innovative anytime in the near future. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what he said. And we're not going to argue this. I mean, this is an argument as old as Apple itself. People are constantly wondering, is Apple still innovating? Are they not innovating? And it got me to thinking, well, what companies today are innovating? If not for Apple, who out there is really doing something unusual, doing something that's unique? What are your thoughts about that?
MoviePass? Oh, just kidding there.
What the heck was that? Is that your phone? Not on vibrate?
I don't know. I got a...
Okay. So your wife's phone?
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway...
That's a good one.
I had to bring that up just because, you know, we were just talking about it like crazy, right? So I think the most innovative things that I'm seeing... Amazon. Do you remember not that long ago when Amazon was a bookseller?
Yeah, there's a story that I remember where Jeff Bezos had first started Amazon, and they had just gotten their first order from somebody who wasn't related to them, wasn't a family, like or a member of their family or wow. One of their friends. And they were all excited. He had like all these like servers in like his house, and they were running the website out of his house. Now Look at them.
I know.
He's the richest man in the world, isn't he?
Is he? I think so.
I
can't keep track of that.
Well, him and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, I think, are always like, you know, nose to nose. But yeah,
but I mean, so, you know, it's one thing to go beyond the bookstore. But I mean, Amazon, you know, that little speaker they have that listens to you.
Right.
Can't say its name, right?
Yeah.
That is super innovative. And it has really changed a lot. It's made everybody that has one able to use a voice interface, and it's normalized that. That's extremely innovative. And they're the way that they just keep expanding, and you know, they're like a giant octopus, right? You know, corporate blah 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 eating everything. But you know, they actually do really change the world. I was talking with my wife about this the other day. You know, she's like, oh, you know, I ordered something from Amazon, it's not gonna be here till tomorrow.
Right.
Like, do you remember 10 years ago when you ordered something online, it'll be there in a week and a half? I mean, and that can still happen.
That just happened to me. I was just thinking, I ordered this thing on eBay and it took it a week and a half to get to my house.
Yeah. I mean, they've utterly changed my expectation when it comes to ordering something and having it appear like almost instantly. And you know, they're talking about delivering stuff with drones. Who knows? They're probably going to have you know, Amazon driverless cars delivering these things soon enough. I mean, I don't know. I think they're super innovative, and I don't know as far as like Apple goes, innovation. I think they're still doing it, but I think Amazon I think that Alexa thing really is something powerful.
Change the game. I mean, look, Apple kind of followed suit afterwards.
Yeah, but, and can't.
Yeah.
you know, still is nowhere near, well, I don't know.
Well, in Apple's defense, I always say this, the HomePod is a music-first speaker and a smart assistant second.
That's
true. Those are secondary functions. And I think that's important to remember because it's an outstanding music speaker. I love it.
Yeah, and the technology behind the, I think that it's, microphones are much, much better and much more accurate and sensitive than Alexa's are. It's, in fact, lately, you know, the wife is like, geez, the freaking Amazon thing doesn't ever hear me anymore. Part of that is just because she's so used to using it now. You know, she's just like in a hurry, right?
Right.
And it's like, Alexa, what, you know, it's like, hey, no. It's a trigger word. You have to say it. Give it a smidgen of a second to recognize that you want it to listen or want it to pay attention.
That and same thing happens in my household.
Isn't it frustrating watching your wife get frustrated?
Well, like even when I say Alexa and it doesn't work, and then you're like, and then you expect the song to change, the volume to go down or whatever, and then it doesn't work, and then you're like, Alexa, I say Echo. I don't want to say it actually.
Ah.
I don't want to say, oh, did I just activate yours? Oh, no, that was your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's maddening when it doesn't actually work. But
yeah, but the HomePod, much better, right?
You know, honestly, I haven't barked very many orders at Siri because I don't feel like it does that much. So what's the point in talking to it?
Don't you use it for, you don't use Apple Music.
I don't use Apple Music, yeah.
Well, let's see, okay.
I literally just use mine as a speaker for the most part.
Jeez, yeah. If you used Apple Music, you would be amazed because you could be sitting there cranking out, you know, some Iron Maiden song, you know, and you can just say, hey, play Frank Sinatra, and it'll just, boom, it'll do it. It's astonishing to me how it picks out commands even amidst this, you know, barrage of loud music. It's truly amazing.
I feel like I almost said it. I feel like the ECHO, it's gotten worse.
Yeah,
it's elderly now, and it is losing its hearing. That's what it feels like. See, it like constantly yell at it.
I bet you it's not that. I bet you it's honestly that you are now so used to using it, and it's so easy to use that you're just
not waiting for it to respond. Time. That's probably exactly it. Yeah, because I speak to it like it's a person. I just rattle off sentences.
Yeah, and it's like getting a faster iPhone, right? And then the one is fine, and then you move to the fast one, and then you go back to the old one, and you're like, what's going on? This thing doesn't work.
Yeah. Right.
No, it works fine the way it used to. You're just used to something faster now.
So I was thinking, a company that's having an absolute renaissance right now is Nintendo. Their new Switch console it's definitely the best console they've ever made, and it might be one of the most important consoles they've ever made because it's classic Nintendo. They have all that wonder and magic built into it. It's fun to interact with. It's fun to use. But the big thing about this console is it's portable. And so kids can take it with them wherever they go, and then they can also plop it into a dock when they get home and then play it on their TV. It's like the perfect game console. It's not as powerful as I would like it to be, and I would love to see them make a Nintendo Switch Pro, which has a larger screen and maybe a nicer quality screen because the screen on the Switch isn't that great. But all in all, what an outstanding, magnificent product. I love my Nintendo Switch, and I've only heard people say good things about it. I haven't heard a single negative thing. People love their Nintendo Switches, and Nintendo keeps putting out innovative products. They have this Nintendo Switch. I call it a game. It's more than a game. It's called the Labo. Have you heard about this, Lewis?
The what? Labo?
Nintendo Labo. It's basically a set of cardboard with all these like laser cut out pieces of cardboard. And then you can go through and build stuff with it, with the cardboard, so that you can build like a piano or you can build like a fishing pole. And then you integrate the Nintendo Switch controllers into your building. And then you can interact with your Nintendo Switch console in unique, innovative ways. And so it's like a mixture of Lego and video game. It's very strange and cool. Like, for instance, you could build a fishing rod, and then you can use the fishing rod to fish on the Nintendo Switch screen. So it has this completely novel, unique interaction method that no other console has. And it's uniquely Nintendo. Nintendo is such a wonderfully bizarre company. They're kind of like the Disney of the video game world. They have such unique imaginations, and they come out with really cool products. And with the birth of the Switch, because they had two consoles previously that didn't really hit, well, it didn't really land with people and were kind of odd and quirky. And so this is a whole new generation, and it's selling better than ever. And so it's great to see Nintendo come out with something that is more of a mainstream product that people are actually loving. And I think they have been crazy innovative. Of course, we can't not mention DJI making drones. They're doing incredible work over there, and the only competition they have is themselves. And then, of course, Tesla. We have to mention Tesla.
I was wondering if that...
I mean, it's so cliche to mention it, right? But you got to mention them. I mean, well, sure. Who's doing what Tesla... Or even SpaceX, too. I mean, who's doing what either of those companies are doing? They are marching to the beat of their own drummer, that's for true. Sure. Do you have any other ones that you can think of?
Well, you know, I was just thinking of Netflix. I mean, they have changed the way people watch TV.
Yep.
And the way that TV gets produced, you know? And Apple's following them, right? I mean, if things go the way they always do, Apple will figure out a way to do it, you know, slightly better.
Hopefully.
A year and a half
later.
That's
the way it used to work. Apple enters the space and their stuff is even better, yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard to imagine how it could be better than
I don't see how it could.
Netflix. I mean,
I honestly
Netflix
don't.
Is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the best of what's around as far as what they do.
I vividly remember when they first started making TV shows, you know, like, and I was just thinking, what? Netflix is starting a studio? Mm-hmm. I was so freaking wrong. I mean, that's one of the big big misses of my life as far as just, you know, being completely wrong about something. I thought that was going to fail faster than anything else. He's like, no, there's no way that they can come up with this. And it's like, wow.
The HBO's lunch and dinner and dessert, too.
Yeah, and network TV. Ha!
Yeah. Oh, network TV. Jeez. Gosh, what are they doing? Oh my gosh.
I literally do not know.
Can you imagine how depressing it must be to work at like CBS or something and see what Netflix is doing? Okay, well, we got to move on because we're already running long and we have all these great questions that we have to go through. I'm not sure we're even going to have time to get through all these. So
Talk real fast.
Let's keep them brief. So this first one comes from Will. I'm going to guess it's pronounced. I hope it's pronounced Kennard. And he asks on Twitter, what are your favorite apps? Not the usual popular stuff, but stuff you use regularly or love that maybe we wouldn't have heard of on Mac and iOS. By the way, Will Kennard, what a wonderfully red beard you have. Look at him. Can you see the notes? Doesn't he look just like Buster's cousin?
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful man.
Very nice.
Beautiful beard. Okay, so what do you got for us, Lewis?
Well, let's see. Are you prepared for this? I mean, he said skip the popular stuff, so here it goes. This is very niche.
Okay.
Dart Connect.
Haven't heard of it. Sounds like something you'd be into.
Yeah, it's a scorekeeping app for playing steel tip darts. Okay. Basically lets you use your iPad instead of a typical chalkboard. Play cricket 501.
To keep track of dart scores.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah,
you are such a dart
dork. Super niche. But hey, you know, if you'd like darts, you should start playing with that. You can play against a robot, you know, like, so you can play. And I've used a lot of these darts apps, and a lot of times the robot is like not that much fun to play. It just, I don't know, it doesn't play smart or whatever. This thing is actually pretty smart. I don't know how they make the AI work for that, but it's good. And although I pay $24 a year for this, but you know, you use it at darts tournaments and darts leagues are starting to use
it. $24 a year? Holy moly, man.
Yeah, I know. Well,
keep track of dart scores.
You get all these stats, you know, it's extremely depressing, actually. You know, you go, oh my God, look what I did there. How horrible. But
throw on that one.
Yeah, if you like darts, you should check that out.
Okay. All right. What else you got?
You want another one?
Yeah.
All right. There's this thing called Italian Food Decoder.
What the hell?
You ever heard of that?
Of course, I haven't. No one has.
He said, "Skip the popular stuff." This is a little app. It's beautiful. You know, it lets you search up all these Italian food names. It's really visual. These beautiful pictures of all these ingredients and dishes and, you know, regional specialties. It's fantastic for helping you get to the bottom of like a menu at a restaurant in Italy. You know, it's like the very best menu is the one that you just can't read, right? It's completely in Italian. And and one thing that's awesome about it is it's really good at explaining like how certain words in Italian mean different things in different parts of the country, you know? Huh. And that can be really confusing when you're on there. You order, I mean, I remember one restaurant, we're like, what is this they just brought us, you know? And I'm like looking at later on, I'm looking it up in this app, and I'm like, oh, that's why. In southern Italy, it means this.
You must really love Italian food to have an app dedicated to Italian food.
Yeah, well, you know, I do, in fact, love Italian food. I like going to Italy, and, you know, it's just a cool app. This one also is a premium thing. I think it's $5. It's oddly enough, I went and looked at it today, and I can't actually tell in the App Store how much it cost because I've already paid for it. But works on iPhone, iPad, and it's, you know, you can use it offline. So it's super when you're,
you know, what a spaghetti dish you're getting, right? Yeah. When it comes, you're like, what is this? Why is there like a pig's face on this? What did I order? Okay. All right. Dark Connect, Italian food decoder. I got two. So I'm going to talk about a little known iOS app that I've talked about here before, but people always tweet me about this or ask me about this. And they're like, hey, what was that one app/website that you used to find great deals? And this is on iOS. It's the Slick Deals app. And I use Slick Deals probably 2 or 3 times a day. I'm constantly checking in on Slick Deals to see what deals people are posting. And if you haven't heard me talk about Slick Deals before, it's this website. It's like a Reddit for deals. So people are constantly posting good deals that they find on the internet, sales, products that have been deeply discounted, maybe priced incorrectly. And then other users vote those things up and comment on them. So if you're especially trying to track something down and get it for a good price, it's a great way to do that, because you can set like a notification that says, if iPads go on sale, let me know. You could even say, if iPads go on sale at X and X price, then make sure you ping my phone. And that's what I do, and I've gotten a lot of great deals, especially around Black Friday. I mean, it's just insane how many deals are happening. And the other, what?
And that the app is the way to go. Rather, I actually went and signed up for their email list after you mentioned them after the last thing, and I was like, I don't know.
I like the app better because the app will give you a notification, so it's much more immediate, whereas the email comes in later in the day, and if something is really hot, it's moving fast. By the time you get the email, the deal will be done.
Got it.
So the app's the way to go. The other app I'm gonna talk about, he did ask for lesser known apps. This is for the Mac. It's called DaVinci Resolve, and this is an amazing application. Now, most of you won't find it useful. This is a tool that you can use. It's primarily used for coloring your video. So I've been doing a lot more YouTube content lately. So I've been using it to color my videos. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's basically just, you know, taking the colors in your video and changing them. It happens in cinema all the time. Every movie you see is shot with a specific look, and then it's colored afterwards by a professional colorist. Well, DaVinci Resolve is the tool that all of Hollywood uses. I mean, the colorists, the pros out there use Resolve to create the colors in the cinema movies that you see, like Blade Runner 2049, which was incredible. The color in that movie was astounding, magnificent. Well, it's free. DaVinci Resolve is 100% free. You can download it right now. If you want to pay for the professional version, it's only $300 and includes like collaboration features that most people probably won't use. And you can also use Resolve to edit your movies. They have a really powerful sound editor in there. It's like the kitchen sink of video creation apps. Wow. You can use it instead of Final Cut Pro and create professional Hollywood grade movies. Now, it has a steep learning curve. I only use a small sliver of the actual functionality that's offered in Resolve, but it's a deep application. And like I said, you could create entire Hollywood films on it if you wanted to. And Hollywood, you know, editors and Hollywood colorists do use this application. It's mostly used for color, but it's also used for editing and stuff. It's just an amazing app. And the fact that it's available for free, it'd be like getting Photoshop for free. It's the same caliber of app. It's really incredible. Okay. Let's move on to, we got to skip some of these. So let's go on to favorite guilty pleasure movie. This one comes from Mr. Shep, app at Mr. Shep, or it might be Mrs. Hep. No, it's definitely Mr. Shep, 23. He says, favorite guilty pleasure movie? No, not that type of movie. Good thing Lander Kinney's not here, because that's the exact type you would have got. These are the kind of movies you love, but you know it's total trash. I've got just the one. So I don't know why I like it, but for some reason, I really like Jupiter Rising. Have you seen this movie?
No, never even heard of it.
Terrible. Terrible.
Oh, wait a minute. That's that horrible sci-fi movie, right?
It has Mila Kunis and... Oh, gosh. I forget the dude's name.
Oh, my head hurts.
Channing Tatum. And it's truly terrible. I mean, it's so bad. There's parts of it where I'm actually cringing. But I love sci-fi, and the premise of the movie is actually really good. And so overall, for some reason, I enjoy this movie, even though there are a lot of parts that are truly terrible. But they're so bad. It's like a Shar Pei. You know those dogs with all the wrinkles? They're so ugly that you fall in love with them. That's what this movie is. It's made by the Wachowskis, the dudes that made the Matrix movies. This was their next project. And it's truly horrible. But for some reason, I really like watching it. I'm not watching it as much these days. When I first saw it, I was like, that's really terrible. I need to rewatch this immediately. And I did. And then I kept watching it over and over and over again just to see what else I missed out on. But as I do with all movies. But
hey, by the way, you got the damn name wrong. You like this movie so much, you got the name wrong.
What's it called?
Jupiter Ascending.
Jupiter Ascending. you're right.
You got something else wrong too.
Jupiter, what is it?
The Wachowski dudes? No longer dudes. Neither one.
Oh, dude, I forgot about that. That's right. They're the Wachowski sisters now, right?
Yeah, Jesus.
Okay, can I just call them the Wachowskis?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's right. Wachowski. That's a whole other topic all on its own. Yeah, so the Wachowskis. It's a Wachowskis made movie. They're still the Wachowskis, right? Do they just go by the Wachowskis now?
Yeah.
Okay, the Wachowskis. Jupiter Ascending. You would have found it anyway, because, you know, how many movies start with the name Jupiter? Okay, what do you got for us, Lewis?
This is a little movie from 1979.
Okay.
And it's called Phantasm.
Phantasm.
Have you ever
seen this
one?
Have never heard of it.
Never heard of it?
Phantasm. No.
Phantasm. Phantasm.
It sounds like a sci-fi movie.
It is a horror sci-fi movie. It's written and directed by Don Coscarelli.
Haven't heard of him either, but cool name.
He ended up doing John Dies at the End, that movie. That's a recent one. He's pretty well known. Anyway, this movie, it's about strange goings on in a small town. It is pretty low budget kind of a movie, but it is pretty awesome. These guys, you know, there's a funeral involved and somebody died. I can't remember exactly what's going on, but two brothers and a friend, they notice, something weird's going on with the funeral home, and there's this tall man who's just, you know, super creepy. You ever heard of Angus Scrimm?
No.
He's a kind of a cult actor. He played this character called the Tall Man. And
very creepy.
So he's a funeral director in this town. He's like, he's always growling, and it's a super crazy movie. There's these like silver metallic balls that fly through the air and hunt people down and like have, you know, what are they called? Like, spikes sticking out of them and sticking people's head and stuff.
Danger. Watch out.
And this guy is like, he's I don't even know how to describe it. Like, his whole deal is he takes corpses and crushes them down into like little dwarves. And
what the hell is this?
Dimensions. Oh my God. It's, if you have not seen Phantasm, I cannot recommend it highly enough. If you like
1979, okay.
Horror sci-fi with, you know, a pretty heavy layer of like
sounds
cheese.
Oh, great.
It's awesome.
Is it supposed to be a good movie, but it's actually bad, but you love it because it's so bad?
You know, it's like a pulp movie. It's not, I would not say that it's in any way pretentious. Let's put it that way. And it's, there's five of them. One time the wife and I watched all five in a row, you know, and it's
wow.
Like, you know, they kind of get progressively worse. I think toward the end, it was just kind of like, make it stop. But, man, the original one, love it. It's only an hour and a half long. It's awesome.
Okay. Phantasm. I'm definitely going to have to check that one out. Let's wrap up with this question. Airfon, this comes from @SisTrunk75, AKA Billy. @Airfon, I think we need to discuss why men have nipples. What's the point? Any guesses here, Lewis? I bet you can guess it if you think about it. Besides the fact that nipples are the ultimate fashion accessory at the beach, everyone loves them.
You know,
Why would... No, I don't have any idea.
They're for piercing. They're for piercing. Because how else could you get your nipples Should pierced?
What's the points?
What are the points of nipples? So here's the answer that I heard that really gave me an Oprah aha moment. So the reason that men have nipples is because in utero, men start off as female, right? They have XX chromosomes. This is the way it was described to me. And I'm sorry for all you biology majors who have to endure me trying to describe this without the education to actually describe it appropriately. But, and then the Y chromosome is added later, which makes you male. So we all start off as female. And so you have nipples because you used to be a female, Lewis.
Yeah, well, see, that doesn't...
And what a beautiful female you would have made.
Oh, my God. Stunner, I'm sure. That still didn't get to the what's the point aspect of this question. What is the point?
Well, it's because women need nipples for feeding young children.
Yeah, it seems...
That's what they're for. And they, so they are residual of you starting off life as a female before you received your Y chromosome and grew to be the big, strong man that you are today.
It just seems so...
Makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Well, it seems like some kind of mistake.
maybe, but just think how bland life would be if you had no nipples.
All right.
Give that some thought.
Okay, so did you get an answer to this question? Why do some people have an extra nipple?
Oh, because they're lucky? Three nipple rings instead of one? It's like that scene from Total Recall.
My God.
You know what? Let's go ahead and wrap it up there before anyone else tries to Google that joke. That's all the cool casts we have for you guys this week. If you have questions you want us to answer or topics you want us to talk about in a future cult cast, we need them. Send them to us. I'm at Erfon on Twitter, E-R-F-O-N. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the cult cast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys and your third nipples next time.
Also in our nightmares.
How many nipples do you have, dude? You got three,
I've
don't
got
you?
The exact right amount of nipples. Two.
Three. How many of your three nipples are pierced? You've got three nipples. You just get two pierced to retain some level of normalcy, or do you do all three? That's the question I have. I bet you Leander's are pierced. I haven't seen him in a while. He seems like the type of guy that gets nips pierced.
I think he's too queasy for that.
You don't think so? Yeah, but he's into high fashion. Imagine you go to the beach, you're in your black Speedo, well, your British flag Speedo, and then you take off the silken robe, and your nipples have the rings in them. Man, that's a good look.
He's more into high dudgeon.
High dudgeon. Is that from Street Fighter? What is that? High dudgeon?
That is some archaic term.
Oh.
Dudgeon means a state of anger, resentment, or offense, spelled with a C, and often turns up as in dudgeon or in high dudgeon.
Well, you're exactly right. He isn't often in the state of high dudgeon.
Exactly.
He's always on the verge of raging.
The dude of high dudgeon.
That's his royal title. His royal dudgeon.
What if I'm pronouncing that right? Dudgeon. Dudgeon, or is it dudgeon?
We got to get him one of those royal capes that says that on the back. His royal dudgeon.